Can I break in there? Sorry to break in your conversations. I just want to point us for a few minutes before we get Michael back up to some things that Jesus said that are relevant to what we've been thinking about this evening. This picture that's going to come up on the screen there, Living with Gods, was an exhibition that did the rounds in a number of places. It was on at the British Museum. I went down to see it when it was there. It looks at themes that are common in religions, and that is thought to be the oldest known depiction of a god that was made by a culture. The exhibition notes the universal appeal of non-material forces, and through the different exhibitions, it seeks to demonstrate that all faiths seem to say something about common themes like sacrifice, temples, issues around birth and death, rituals. There's an undertone that belief in God is innate, but there's also an undertone that at core religions are all basically the same. And that's quite an attractive way of seeing things, isn't it, in our culture where the values of diversity and tolerance that we've been thinking about this evening are very important values to us. And I want to say that Christians have lots to say sorry for in terms of how we've approached freedom of speech down through the centuries. This is Michael's point about the band not playing very well. So violence towards people who believe different things, thinking we deserve special treatment. You know, you can't say that about the Bible. Or just coming across as bigoted and prejudiced. All of that is very un-Jesus-like. And I'm sorry if any of that has been your personal experience. We should be able to have the kind of sensible conversation that Michael's advocating, where we listen, where we engage, where we're allowed to say what we believe in a friendly way. But it would be wrong for Christians ever to apologize for or to cover up the plain teaching of Jesus Christ. That's never a good thing. Always better to let people hear Jesus clearly and work out what they make of him. And when you do listen to Jesus, not only is he happy to make exclusive claims about himself, he's happy to try to persuade people to change their mind about what they believe, even to tell them that they've got their religion wrong. Intolerant God. Well, I want to just track us through a few quotes from John's Gospel from Jesus. And if you wanted, you could track this through on the John's Gospel in front of you, flick through the pages, and they'll come up on the screen as well. The reason I want to do this is because I think there's an image out there that Jesus was a really cool guy. He was a kind of believe what you like sort of guy, bit of a hippie really, but he had these fundamentalist followers who came after him and made the whole thing more exclusive than Christ himself ever intended. Well, see what you make of this. These are all direct quotes from the lips of Jesus as recorded by his authorized biographer John. So first of all, John 5:23, this is page 20. John 5:23, whoever does not honour the Son does not honour the Father who sent him. Page 25 is John 6:45. Everyone who's heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Page 42, this is John 10. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. And then finally, page 60, this is where I want to focus in, John 14, verse 6. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So, can you hear the scandal? God is my Father. There's only one way to God. Whoever doesn't honour me doesn't honour God. Anyone who wants truth needs to listen to me. And he even states it there in that verse, the negative way round, so we don't miss the point. No one comes to the Father except through me. I wonder what you make of a Jesus who talks like that. I remember chatting to a student from SOAS who had studied religions in different cultures as part of his degree. I asked him what he made of Jesus' exclusive claims. He knew all about those sentences that we just read. And this student was positive generally about Jesus, but really struggling given the diversity of the religions that he's studied to believe that only one of them could be right. And I can understand where he was coming from. I mean, purely at the relational level, it all gets awkward. I remember a few Christmases ago, Christmas lunch, me sitting next to my brother's wife's dad. He chips in that he thinks Christianity and Islam basically say the same thing. I mean, who wants to be the one who butts into that conversation and says, no, you're wrong. Jesus says he's the only way. And please, could you pass me the Christmas pudding? I mean, it's just a bit awkward. Who wants to be the one to say to, what would it be, 4 billion people in the world who don't claim to be Christian? You've all got it wrong about God. Now, don't misunderstand this. I'm not here having a go at cultural pluralism. That's where a diversity of cultures and religions are allowed to thrive together in the same space, like a university. Or like a city like London. It's one of the things that I love about living here and raising children here. Our little kids don't have to learn about other countries and faiths from reading in books. They just have to talk to their buddies who are from all these different places. And even within Christianity itself, you know, there's huge diversity in how faith in Jesus is expressed in different countries and languages and cultural contexts. But Orthodox Christians around the world and down the centuries are clear on these claims. And you may hate the exclusive claims of Jesus saying he's the only way. Those of us here who are Christians might have our inhibitions, but Jesus is prepared to say it loud and clear. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I want us to think briefly about one of the main alternative views, and this is an alternative not just to Christianity, but to any religion that says this is the way for everyone. So I've called this second point the even more intolerant alternative. I'm talking about what's often known as relativism, which is a completely different way of seeing the world. This is basically the view that when it comes to religious truth, there are no absolute answers. You don't have religions that are right or wrong in that way because each one is relative to the individual person and their cultural background. The image that's often used is that we're all on a journey up a mountain. You may have heard this. A mountain with different paths that go up to the top. And at the top you've got God, or nowadays people would describe it much more vaguely, probably spiritual satisfaction. And the different paths up the mountain represent the different religions and world philosophies. Some think theirs is the right path, but that's just because they can't see round the corner to the different bits of the mountain, where everyone else's perspectives are equally valid as part of the whole. It's an attractive sounding option. Listen to this from the philosopher Alan Bloom. The study of history and culture teaches us that men always thought they were right, and that led to wars, persecution, slavery, racism, and chauvinism. The point is not to correct the mistakes and really be right. Rather, is not to think that you are right at all. See what he's saying? Stop people from saying this is the right answer for everyone. And you stop people doing all kinds of harm to each other. Certainly a great motive. So why am I about to be rude about something that's so well-intentioned? Well, the problem with the one mountain, many paths thing is that it just doesn't listen to what the different religions actually say. So I don't know how much you remember from RE. Take the most basic ideas about God. Classic Buddhism says there's no personal God who created the world. Christianity and Islam say one God. Hindus say 250 million gods. Relativism looks at all of them together and says, none of you are wrong. Or take some of the differences between the big two, Christianity and Islam. Islam says that Jesus was just a man, that he didn't die on the cross and therefore didn't rise again. Christianity says he was divine, that he did die on the cross, and that he then rose bodily. Relativism looks at Christianity and Islam and says, both equally valid. Now, that's as patronizing to the Muslim as it is to the Christian, because they all know that they can't all be right on their respective claims. And I wonder if one of the problems in this is when we treat religion like we're in a conversation about personal tastes and private opinions. So where do you find beauty? What's your favorite flavor of ice cream? And what are you into spiritually? Lots of religion is presented that way, a lifestyle choice in a marketplace of options. Maybe ours is the one that will work for you. But this is conversations about much more serious stuff. This is about history and facts that either did or didn't happen. Christianity is essentially a message that certain events took place in recorded history. If they didn't take place, it's a nothing religion. Just think back to that mountain path thing. Where is the relativist on the mountain? Where is the relativist? Well, if he's the person saying all answers are equally valid, doesn't that put the relativist somewhere at the top of the mountain, looking down on everyone else? And that is just a massive claim to say that all the faiths and philosophies are stumbling around with their small piece of the jigsaw. I alone can see the whole picture of spiritual reality. What is that if it's not hugely arrogant? That's not relativism at all, actually. That's a new version of an absolute reality that everyone has to slot into. And we won't tolerate anyone who doesn't subscribe. Well, as we finish for a minute, let's think about the difference between Christianity and other worldviews. The focus is the person. Maybe they can't all be true, but how can we say Christianity is the right one? You might want to chip in at this point and say, Kev, some of us have moved on from relativism. What about atheism? Let's say they're all wrong. That's an even cleaner way of dealing with the disagreements. And there's lots we could say about why Christianity is not only unique, but true. And the main thing to focus on is a person, Jesus Christ. That's what John 14 verse 6 is all about. In that verse, he's not pointing to a philosophical formula for finding truth. He's pointing to himself. I am the truth, the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Hey, you know, I'd love you to take this seriously enough to do a bit of research on Jesus, to take that John's Gospel away. I've put some references that you could look up on the handout there. I'm the way, he says. Might sound intolerant to say he's the only way, but it's actually a very expensive way for Jesus. It's a way that involves him dying horrifically on a Roman cross. See, getting to heaven isn't about a quiz at the door where Jesus is the right password that gets you through. It's about the fact that we've all ignored God, that he's angry with us, that judgment's real, that all of us deserve it. Jesus doesn't say, I'm the only way, with the arrogance of someone who wants to do a power play over you. He says it with the love of someone longing to help you with your deepest problem. I'm the truth. The claim right at the start of John's Gospel is that Jesus is God, so that when we hear him speak, we hear God speak. Again, no other serious religious leader even claims anything like that. I'm the life. Life is Jesus' specialist subject. Is intolerant the right word for someone who, when he does get killed, comes back to life 3 days later? Or is that a person we need to take seriously? See, this is not about convincing people to convert to a way of life that erases their cultural background. And there's lots you can learn about family life from Muslim friends. Buddhism probably can make you a more peaceful person in some ways. But every now and then in a field of life, you just get one individual who's so outstanding that you don't even need to have the conversation about who's the greatest. And I don't want to be rude about other religious leaders. I know that there have been some inspiring individuals, but there's only one Jesus. There's only one Jesus. He doesn't mind who you are or where you come from. He more than wants to tolerate you. He loves you. And he loves you too much to say, believe what you like. John 14, you see, is actually written to his disciples as a comfort for them. If you look at the context around the verse we're looking at, that's what's going on. Verse 1, let not your hearts be troubled. Jesus doesn't want us to be offended at his uniqueness. He wants us to be comforted that in him there is one true certain way. And his request in love to us is to do what he asks there in sentence 1. Believe in God, believe also in me. Can you bring yourself to do that? Do you know, it'd be a really good question to think. What would have to change for you to do that? What would you have to know or be convinced of that you don't know and aren't convinced of now? Jesus says to you, believe in God, believe also in me. Thanks for listening. We'll have a couple of minutes break there. Another chance for you to send in some questions, and then we'll get Michael back up for the last part of the evening.